Hi, friends. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is your show. This is where we take a fresh look at ourselves and the world around us. We also talk about relationships a lot on this incredible, fast-paced show. Well, it's caller-driven. That means we need your participation. So here's the number, because when I introduce this topic that we are going to kind of take on together and we're going to talk about, maybe like pretend like we're having a conversation in our living room and just having a nice warm cup of coffee or a cool drink and sitting down and just discussing this, and we solve all the world's problems in our living room. Here's the number if you want to participate, 1-800-585-9396. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, normally Jerry Usher is co-hosting this wonderful show with me, but he is traveling today to Sioux Falls, South Dakota for the Lamb Radio's Fall Appeal. And I understand it's quite chilly there in South Dakota. And so if we could ask the whole Take Two family to please pray for Jerry to have safe travels there and a very successful fall appeal, please make sure everyone listening to the Lamb Radio to participate at 100%, either by a pledge or a prayer. You know, pray that others will be moved to pledge as well for the fall appeal. But also, if we could do this, could we also say a prayer for Jerry's voice? And the reason why I say that is because he's not going to ask this himself. He's just, he doesn't want to try, you know, there's so many other things that he feels are more important to pray for. But I feel this is very important because this is his vocation. I mean, he uses his voice to evangelize. He uses his voice to spread the gospel message. And I just want to make sure Jerry's voice holds up and is very strong. So if we could say a prayer for him, that his voice continues to stay strong and gets even better and better during the next couple days for the fall appeal at Lamb Radio. So if you could do that, Take Two family, we really would appreciate it. Okay, but you have me today, and we're talking about honoring your father and mother, the fourth commandment. That's what we're talking about today. And what does it mean? And maybe you have parents that take advantage of that. You know, they ask way too much or expect way too much, and it puts a certain amount of stress on your family or your life. So we want to talk about that today. 1-800-585-9396. That's the number to call. Remember, pretend you're in that virtual living room having a conversation about this. We get very real, and hopefully by the end of this brief hour, we're a little bit changed. We're a little bit closer to God. So first step up, okay? I gave you the number, 1-800-585-9396. I told you that I was all alone today, so I need your participation. But I also want to just reference the Catechism of the Catholic Church, because I'm, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for the past couple years, you know that I have a very extensive catechetical background, and I'm a firm believer that there should be a dusted-off Bible and a dusted-off catechism on your coffee table. So that you could pick it up and reference it and really better understand your faith. I think it's very, very important. So if you look at part 3 of the Life in Christ, section 2, the Ten Commandments, it starts with paragraphs 21-97, and it goes on. It goes into great detail. But it talks about the fourth commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother. And a lot of times when we see the list of the Ten Commandments, okay, we see that, honor your father and your mother, and it stops. There's a period right after that. But this commandment comes with a promise, okay? This commandment comes with a promise, and it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Okay, so think about that for a moment. Comes with a promise. So you honor your father and your mother, and then you will be blessed you may live long on this earth. Okay, very interesting. So we want to talk about this, because does this play a factor when we are feeling maybe quite burdened or stressed with our parents really expecting so much from us, but yet we may know this promise, and we may say to ourselves, wow, we've got to honor our father and mother at all costs, because we want to live a long life, a fruitful life, an abundant life. So it's very, very interesting. That's what this is all about today. We want to ask you what your thoughts are about this. If you feel that your parents expect too much, and has that crossed the line of honoring your father and mother? I mean, maybe you feel like, I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm exhausted. you know, but yet my mom or my dad still picks up that phone and asks one more thing of me. And at what point do you say, okay, enough is enough. I've got to take care of myself here. I've got to take care of my own family here. That's what we're talking about today. Let's get real with this on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Only it's just Debbie today. Jerry's traveling to the Lamb Radio's Fall Appeal. Great time to remind you all to be very generous with Catholic radio and television. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. When we come back, right to the phones.
This is Bishop John Fulda of the Diocese of Fargo.
This is Raymond Arroyo, host of The World Over.
This is Monsignor Charles Pope, Morning Glory Godly Council. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
Father Mitch Pacwa.
On EWTN Open Line, we take your questions. This is kind of fun for me because it's how I started off in radio. There are lots of people who don't believe in God, and I pray for them. A non-Catholic, especially if they're Christians, they believe in Christ. They don't believe in the sacrifice of the Mass, but that's not going to stop me. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
Father Mitch Pacwa, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
How about this? Apple TV allows you to instantly stream EWTN to your TV. Get EWTN today. It's easy. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV player.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. At one level, the reputation a person has is one of their most precious gifts. And to intentionally harm the good reputation of someone is a very grave matter. We can do this often through detraction, by disclosing others' faults without a valid reason, or calumny, just outright lying about other people. Likewise, through rash judgment. This commandment also protects the truth, which is another very, very great good. To lie is to speak something that we know is false with the intention of deceiving others. We ought to be dedicated to the truth. It is the truth that sets people free, while errors and lies entrap people in many difficult and often sinful situations. The Lord asks us to give witness to the truth of the gospel. This commandment, therefore, asks us to stay dedicated to the truth and to other people's reputation. The Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We're talking about, do your parents expect too much? And if that kind of conflicts with this fourth commandment, honoring your father and mother, I mean, what do you do about that? How do you reconcile that in your own life? That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And I just wanted to mention this because it perfectly transitions into why Jerry and I felt so very passionate about starting the Stand Tall retreats. We have the next one, the first one coming up February 9th through the 11th at St. Bernard Abbey in Cullman, Alabama. And if you'd like information on it, or if you want to register, please go to jerryanddebbie.com. You could spell out A-N-D, jerryanddebbie.com. And it's Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E. Okay, so jerryanddebbie.com. You can get agenda details, retreat agenda details, and you can register right there. We had a lot of signups last week. A lot of couples are coming. It's an adults-only retreat. We really believe it's going to be life-changing. And we talk about things just like this that impact all of us and how we can really go out into the world being the best Christians we can possibly be with all of these other elements coming at us, you know, trying to maybe divert our attention or get us off track. And we want to make sure we really come out into the world the best we possibly can, kind of like what Matthew Kelly talks about, which I absolutely love. So jerryanddebbie.com, please sign up. We can only take a max of 90, and we are filling up. So I really believe we're going to max out by the end of the year. That's very exciting. But today we're talking about honoring your father and your mother, and do your parents expect too much? And at what point do you have to say no, mom, no dad, no grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle? Because you're talking about all of authority that has taken care of you. So it applies to the extended family as well. At what point do you have to say, no, I have to take care of my own family, my children, or myself? Because, you know, sometimes we compromise ourselves, like we lose sleep or we don't take care of ourselves because we're trying to take care of everyone else. And at what point does that become too much? We want to talk about that today. 1-800 585-9396. If you have something to say about this, you can weigh in. You can text us. You text the letters EWTN to 55000. You wait for a response and put your first name in, your question or your comment. And please, you can weigh in that way. Or on Facebook, you can leave your comments there, on YouTube. And Jeff Burson does such a great job at making sure we get all the information as quickly as possible so we could insert it into the discussion. I think it's really important that we have 100% full participation on topics like this, because it really does shape what we learn. We want to walk away a little bit changed. And so if you sit it out and just feel, you know, be entertained, or even just extract a lot of information, that's great, but it doesn't really fully fulfill what we're trying to do on take two. So we're going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone and dial this number, 1-800-585-9396, just like Carolyn did in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Carolyn was first up, and she has something to say about this. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having this as a topic. This is a thorn in my side. This keeps me very humble. I go to confession on a regular basis because of my mother. The discussions, I'm always there for her, and I can't say no, because I'm just compelled to do God's will, and that means whatever my mother asks, by honoring her, I step up to the plate and do it. But it doesn't mean that my human side doesn't kick in from time to time. And I get a little angry and upset over the things that I'm doing. And when somebody else does one small minute thing, they get all the kudos, and I don't even get recognition for being in the same room. So this right. is always a thorn in my side. And like I said, it helps keep me humble. It's like my measuring stick with God.
Wow, I like that. Interesting concept. Okay, so Carolyn, couple things. You're not alone. I feel the same way. Especially when I go to confession, I'm constantly. It's the same. I could just probably say the exact same thing every time I go into the confessional, and it's that exact feeling that, you know, you're trying to do your very best. You're trying to be there for your mother. And I just want to tap into something that you said. Does your mom have any type of, is she aging in a normal way, or does she have any of the dementia or Alzheimer's or any other factors playing in?
No. The only factor that plays in is jealousy, for whatever reason. That's the only way that I can see it. She's 84 years old. I ended up being her caretaker. She is recovering from breast cancer, and I ended up being her caretaker. And it was an interesting concept, because she wanted me to have no part of anything to do with it. And God had another plan for both of us. And he threw us both together. And we did a lot of healing through it. But we still, now when the arguments happen, they're more intense. Because she sees herself in me. And it's funny, because we've both come up with the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Wow. So we butt heads big time.
Yeah, and are there other siblings, or is it just all falling on you?
Oh, yes. I'm one of seven. One of my brothers passed away in 95, but that leaves six, and I'm the only one that steps up to the plate, and yet at the same time, I'm the one that gets beat up all the time, and probably because I'm the only one that steps up.
Yeah, you're the harshest judged, I presume?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I can totally relate. you and I should be sisters. But here's, you know what? Here's the thing, though. Like, I think what
and
you
she's
said.
She's Italian, Debbie.
Oh, she's Italian. Okay. See, this is turning into an Italian honor your mother and father. Okay. Carolyn, here's the thing. I think what you said about developing the keeps you humble, you know, that sense of humility. I mean, that is such an incredible virtue. It is so completely tied in to God. And I just think that is, I mean, when you think about what you're learning here on earth, I mean, it just, to me, I think that is, you know, an amazing gift you're getting for all of eternity. And, unfortunately, it comes with its pain and its price. And that is like what you just said, you know, others will get, a lot of kudos and a lot of appreciation. And here's Carolyn doing everything day in and day out and not receiving that praise. And that from an earthly sense can be really hard to deal with. It's a tough thing. And that's what I was saying when I said, I'm sure our confessional, conversations that we have, Carolyn, are probably very similar. You know, it's just, I think it's a natural thing for the tendency for our human side to have that resentment build up, or, you know, and there's all these kinds of emotions that you almost want to say, wait a minute, what about me? You know, I'm doing this. I'm being faithful. I'm doing the right thing. But, you know, I've had a lot of priests and a lot of deacons say to me, you just got to keep that really future view, you know, that wider view of things, because your, you know, hopefully great reward will come in eternity. And I'm sure you know that. And I'm sure priests have told you that. So, I mean, do you try to remind yourself, hey, this is just, you know, I've got to not let these human things get to me, because I've got to keep the bigger vision here. Do you ever play
all
that
time.
Kind of?
Yeah. When I lose it with her, I walk away and I say, please, Lord, help me with this. And afterwards I say, thank you, Jesus, because for what I suffer here on earth, I will be greatly rewarded on the other side. And, you know, that's what I'm striving for, is for the better, the greater good.
Right.
And so when she beats me up here on earth, most of the time I'm good about just turning the other cheek. But then my humanness kicks in from time to time, and I fight back. And sure. Those are the times I'm repentant and remorseful and wish I'd have just kept my mouth shut, because I put my foot in it all the time.
Well, Carolyn, I do as well. And I have to tell you, the times that I walk away and I'm really proud of myself, I'm like, wow, I did really good this time. And then not but, you know, 6 hours later, it just goes downhill from there. And I think we have to celebrate the little accomplishments. And the other thing too, Carolyn, I just wanted to say, because this was told to me, so I always feel like I need to impart it onto others who are in similar situations, is that we can't be so hard on ourselves, because you're there. Okay. Your heart is there. You may not always do the quote unquote right thing or the right response. We get it. Okay. We've all been there. We've all done it, but your heart is there. The intention for you to take care of your mother is there. And that I believe God smiles on. And so I would just like to impart that to you, because I've had a lot of priests say to me, Debbie, you're way too hard on yourself. Let it go. You're there for your mom. You were there for your dad. You know, don't be so hard on yourself. And so I just wanted to pass that on to you. I hope that brings you a smile on your face, Carolyn.
I am sitting here with a grin from ear to ear. Thank you so much. You know, I just, I felt like when I heard the topic this morning, I said, oh, I definitely have to call in today.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, you brought up about your mom being Italian. And I will tell you that, you know, with a lot of different nationalities, there is an element of guilt that plays in to family relationships. And, you know, it just happens. I mean, I remember being half of my family by marriage was Jewish, and they would say the Jews invented guilt. I say the Catholics perfected guilt, you know. And so, you know, here we go. I mean, so there is that element there that you almost feel compelled, like you have to be there, you know, for our parents. And that also can play another factor with other situations as well. So, Carolyn, I hope you continue to listen to the rest of the show, because we have a lot of calls coming in, and I'm sure you'll be curious to see what others have to say about our situation that we share in common. Thank you, Carolyn, so very much. Have a beautiful rest of your day in Boston, Massachusetts.
You as well, Debbie. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, so you heard from Carolyn. You know, this happens to all of us. 1-800-585-9396. When your parents expect too much, how much is too much? You know, when you maybe if you're at home fighting with your spouse, or you're getting really short with your children because your parents are putting this pressure on you. I mean, is that too much? I mean, maybe you have to draw the line and say, no, this isn't going to come into my home. My home is a home of peace and harmony. And so, you know, you have to really, this is a delicate balance we're talking about today. Honoring your father and your mother, the fourth commandment. Remember, it comes with a promise. It talks about honoring your parents, and then you'll have, you know, many days on this earth. That's what the promise says. And it's very interesting. So we're going to talk about that some more with Jim. But before I do, I just wanted to let you know there is an open phone line. Carolyn just freed up the line, 1-800-585-9396. Hi, Jim. Listening in North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you. I guess I am kind of I had the opposite. Both my parents have passed. My mom died early, so I really didn't get that adult relationship with her as much as a guy would like to. But my father, he would almost never call when he needed something, and he'd find it out after the fact. And in fact, after he passed, we went into his house and realized that his water heater was so bad that he had towels stacked up around it because it was leaking so bad, and he would never ask us for help. So, I don't know, maybe we should have stuck our nose into his business or into his life a little more. But, you know, it almost breaks the guy's heart knowing that he had that kind of stress and he just wouldn't let anybody help him.
Well, Jim, so, Jim, you have a little bit of background noise, but I wanted to ask you. So was your dad and mom always like this? Were they always like, well, we're not going to put any burdens on our children. We're just going to do our own thing. Or were they always independent like that?
I think it might be a family trait. I have one grandmother left, and you know, it's kind of the same thing. If you come around, they might mention it, but they won't. You know, it's like, grandma, call if you need anything. Okay, but they never do.
Okay. Okay. So did that make you feel bad? So it sounds like it made you feel bad that he went through all of this and never really reached out for help.
Well, just the fact that, you know, it had to be somewhat stressful for him having all these things around him that needed care, and he just basically kind of shoved them under the rug and ignored them as best he could, and, you know, so, but, you know, yeah, in a sense, it didn't, I mean, I was bad in a way, more or less, the fact that he, you know, the stress it had to have caused him, and looking back, you can maybe, you know, hindsight, see the fact that he had, you know, had that kind of stress. For whatever reason, he, you know, he just wouldn't involve us in those things.
Mm.
Pretty
do
much
you
all of us.
Right. When you say all of us, how many brothers and sisters do you have, Jim?
There's five of us. I have two brothers and two sisters.
Okay. And so did your dad reach out to any of them, or was it complete? I mean, it sounds
not
like
really.
It. Wow.
No. I mean, if we, I guess, you know, he was always kind of a private person in a sense, I guess. But, you know, but I mean, you know, if we needed help, you know, we would always be there. But
right.
He never really asked that much. So I guess in a sense it can be almost the opposite. And I think, you know, that's almost worse to me maybe because they didn't even know about it. And, you know, like I said, the things that he probably dealt with and he just wouldn't. But I guess you can't make him either. So.
So you guys didn't even have the opportunity to really show up there for him because he never really asked. But here's the thing. I brought in the guilt factor because I hope you don't, you know, put on yourselves any undue feelings of guilt because, you know, obviously, clearly your dad, you know, he was a mature adult and, you know, he had that prerogative if he wanted to, whether to ask for help or not. But it sounds like you were all there. You were all there in spirit. You were willing to help if he was there. So he knew that. And maybe that's all he needed is that this idea that you were there if he needed you guys. And I think it comes again back with the intention of the heart. I mean, it's not like your dad would call and call and call and nobody would answer. I mean, he obviously knew he had that safety net there of his children if he needed to tap into it. But he sounded like a really strong man that wanted to take on this world on his own. And I think that's pretty awesome as well. I mean, that just goes to show his independence and maybe his trust in God that, you know, maybe he just had that, idea that, you know, it's me and God and, you know, we can handle it. And it's very interesting, Jim. That kind of shows the flip side of it, because we have some parents that are really putting a lot of pressure on their children. And then we've got your mom and dad, or your dad, who really, you know, wanted to kind of do things on his own. So, wow. Sounds like you had a very blessed, you had great parents, Jim, and a nice family. So that's good. Thank you so much for that call. We appreciate your contribution today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Well, phone lines are lit up. We do have one open phone line if you'd like to jump in at 1-800-585-9396. We heard from Carolyn and we heard from Jim, two really kind of different perspectives on what it means to take care of our parents and what our parents expect of us, or what our parents maybe just you know, understand of us, but they don't really want to intrude in our lives. And it's very, very interesting. So this is a great conversation so far. I'm already taking a lot of notes, and I hope you are as well. But if you'd like to jump in, now's the time. 1-800-585-9396. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Jerry's traveling today to South Dakota. Lamb Radio is having their fall appeal, so we wish them great success. We'll be right back.
Jumpstart your faith. Now coming to a parish conference or retreat near you, world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
It's not enough to stop doing whatever it is that's keeping you from union with God. For most of us, there are serious issues that need to be addressed first in order to be able to embrace that life of virtue. All those things we're all called to, but which every one of us struggles to achieve.
Invite Jerry Usher today. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Did you know there are two kinds of tantrums? The first type, distress tantrums, are the most common in children 4 and under. They aren't the result of children trying to manipulate you as much as your kids being overwhelmed, overstimulated, or frustrated. The best cure for distress tantrums is bringing your child to a quiet place and providing lots of loving attention to help your child calm down and come back online. The second type, manipulative tantrums, occur in children who are old enough to have good self-control but still use drama as a tool. The best way to respond to these tantrums is to calmly place the child in a quiet, safe, time-out place until he's calm enough to apologize sincerely, accept your direction, and rehearse the more appropriate alternative with you. How long are they in for? Well, that's up to them. Want more tips to make discipline easier? Check out my book, Parenting with Grace. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Ben.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Okay, you guys crack me up on Take Two. At the beginning of the show, you kind of wait, you kind of plan when you're going to call in, and then all of a sudden, all the phone lines light up. I just love that. You have something to say about it. That's good. That's why we introduce these topics, so that we can just, where are you going to have these conversations? I mean, we don't have them at the water cooler at our work anymore, because everything is so, you have to be very politically correct. You know, you can hardly say anything to one another except, hi, how's the weather? You know, think about it. That's all you really can say. But we can have these conversations here on Catholic radio. That's why it's so important to support Catholic radio and television, because this is where we can really get, you know, deeper in our faith and grow closer to God. So Joy was next up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on the Lamb Radio. Hi, Joy. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry. Well, no, not with Jerry, because you have Jerry. It's only me, Joy. Hi. Okay, we're getting a loud signal there, Joy. Okay, I'm getting a buzzing sound. So can we put Joy on hold, please? Okay, we're gonna fix that. I want to talk to Joy because I want to find out if she knows that Jerry's coming to the Lamb Radio. Okay, so next up, who do we have? Let's see, Maria. Can we go to Maria in Michigan? Okay, Maria, you're on. Take Two.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Doing.
Thank you for calling, for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I, my feedback. It's a feedback on your topic. I listen to the topics almost every day, and I just felt...
Okay, so we just... Maria, you're going to have to call back. We're having... I think we're having a little bit of phone difficulty here. Okay, Joy, are you back on in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Okay, we are definitely having some difficulty, and we have full phone lines. This is so exciting, and yet I want to talk to all of you. Okay, so who can we go to next? How about Marcia? Can we go to Marcia in South Bend, Indiana? Redeemer Radio, Marcia, are you there? No, okay, Tony. Okay, Tony, let's go to Tony in Florida. I'm listening on EWTN.com. Hi, Tony. Welcome to Take Two. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. We're having a little bit of phone difficulty, so if something happens, call back, but you go right ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. My mom was a very active person. She started to get sick, and we didn't understand why. We think it was kidney failure, but anyway, I took care of her. I'd go back and forth. I live in Florida. She lives in Louisiana. So I went back and forth helping her. And also, I had a granddaughter who needed surgery. She had a hemangioma between her eyes, and she had to have surgery on that. So when my mom was getting where she needed someone there to help her 24/7, that she could still walk, but someone had to be with her because she'd fall sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so when my granddaughter needed surgery, I told her that she'd go and stay with my brother. She agreed to that. My brother was more than willing to take care of her while I would come back from my granddaughter's surgery. And so when I came back from my granddaughter's surgery, I stayed for a while, and I was trying to pace myself because I knew my mom needed a lot of care, so I was trying to pace myself between my granddaughter and my mom. And then I remembered a commandment to honor your father and your mother, and I remembered on another program a discussion that there was no commandment for grandkids, but there was a commandment to honor your mother and your father. So I decided after my granddaughter had the surgery and I was here for a while, I said, no, it's time for me to leave. I need to go back and help my mom because I had remembered the commandment, honor your father and your mother. So I decided to go back, and I called her and I told her I'm coming back now, and she was so happy about that. And I had just made it there. I got there and at 2:30 or 3:30 in the morning, and she died at 8 o'clock that night.
Oh.
So I was so happy I decided to go back, and she couldn't talk at that point anymore, but I know she heard me because I would ask her. She had a ventilator, and I asked her if she could hear me, and she'd throw her head way back, more than the ventilator was pushing her already. She'd throw it way back, and about an hour later, I asked her again, and she'd throw her head way back. She couldn't open her eyes, couldn't talk, and I told her if she needed to go, that it was okay. We were all going to be okay.
Wow. When did your mom pass, Tony? What year?
April 4th. This year, April 4th.
Oh, wow. Do we have your mom's name in our book? We pray for the living and the deceased.
No, her name is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. So, and your granddaughter is doing well?
Oh, yes. She's doing well. Okay. She'll need more surgery, but she's doing well.
So, Tony, go ahead. Go ahead. You go ahead first.
Another way I had of honoring my mother was that her Social Security check came in, and it was divided between me and my two brothers. And for my part of what I was going to do with it is I was going to have the Gregorian Novena Masses said for her. And so I thought that's what I would like to do with that money. I'd like to help a priest in a third world country and in that, because it has to be done for 30 days in a row for that single intention.
Right.
And they have time. Your parish priest doesn't have time to do that. So that's all. I heard that on that program also when they were talking about honoring your father and mother.
Well, I mean, first of all, you're a great, great daughter. And what I think is so beautiful about your story is, see, you were tapped into the spirit because you knew that you were there to take care of your granddaughter. You're there to take care of your mom. You knew when to leave. I mean, look at the timing of that. And see, that's what the beauty of it is, of being tapped into the Holy Spirit. And I your story is very, I think it's going to be very comforting to others because a lot of folks are juggling a lot of things that are happening. You know, we don't have just one situation happening in our families. We may have two and three and four, even health situations or financial situations. There are all these things we're trying to juggle. And it's important that we go back and see you had that subtle voice, if you will, that said to you, honor your father and mother. And so you knew, you said, okay, it's time. It's time I go from my granddaughter over to my mom, and you made it in time. And how beautiful that is. And then you go on to give your mom this great gift that is only going to benefit her soul or many other souls with these beautiful masses. So I just want to say, you know, I love that you're so open to the spirit. And I believe that's a gift. And I just want to say, you know, I just have to say this. I mean, for whatever it's worth, what a great, great daughter you are. And your mom, Elizabeth, was very blessed. And it sounds like you were very blessed to have her as well. So, you know, it's a great story. It's a reminder to all of us that we really do have to, you know, tap into when the Holy Spirit nudges us, you know, and that seems like that's what it did in your situation. What do you think? Did I sum that up okay?
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Elizabeth's in our prayer book. And now you're going on to, you know, that's another thing too about having masses said for the deceased. We should all be doing that. I mean, sometimes it's a forgotten thing that we do, and I don't know why we do that. So I'm just so glad that you reminded all of us, Tony. Thank you so much. And thank you for staying on the line and getting through all the little phone glitches that we had here today. But it was worth it. See, it was meant to be. Thank you, Tony. Okay, Marcia, you're up next in South Bend, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Hi, Marcia. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay, hanging in. Okay, my situation was just a little bit different. My mom lived with us for 24 years. And in the beginning, she was still very mobile, but my father had died. And she was 57, and she just didn't want to be alone anymore. Mm-hmm. And so she had come to live with my husband and I and our youngest son. And as she deteriorated, I mean, I'm a nurse, and I knew what all she needed as time went on. She had dementia. And as she deteriorated, my brother and his wife would come and get her on a Saturday night and take her to Mass. And if it was convenient, they'd take her out to eat afterwards and then take her to their house till Sunday afternoon. If it wasn't convenient, they took her to Mass and took her out to eat, and then when they picked her up, they told me they'd be bringing her back. And, you know, it was never, well, do you guys have anything that you'd like to do? Would you like to go out to dinner before, you know, we bring her home? Nothing, ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was with us for 24 years, and through part of that time, we had custody of two of our grandchildren that were really small. The oldest one wasn't two yet, and the littlest one was between 2 and 3 months when the mother abandoned them with us. And our son was so devastated by what was happening and that she had left that he could barely take care of himself, let alone the kids. So. Mm-hmm. When he divorced her, we had custody of them for 2.5 years, and we took them for swimming lessons. We had to go in with the littlest one when he was 18 months old, and I got MRSA in my foot, I think, from the locker room. Mm. Lost all the toes on my right foot, finally.
And then, you know, as it continued, we still had two little kids and my mom. And never one time did my brother and his wife ever ask, can we help out? Can we take her for a week? Can we do anything? Can we give up any of our time? No, I quit my job to take care of her. And they couldn't give anything. Right. So it was just extremely frustrating that they were so wrapped up in themselves that mm-hmm. they couldn't even let it cross their mind that maybe they could do something that might help someone else out a little bit right. more. But no.
Marcia, can I ask you a question? So you said you were a nurse. Did you reach out for help, or were you just expecting them to step up and say, can we help you? I'm just curious.
I guess I probably expected it more than asking for it. I could see with the way it was when they would take her to mass that it was only going to be things at their convenience. So right. it just... it was just too frustrating
right.
to ask and not, you know, not have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Marcia, here's the thing real quickly. I just wanted to share it. You know, we talk about all the time on this show that, you know, God really uses those that are equipped to handle the mission. And, you know, with you being a nurse and everything that you are able to deal with and endure and to work through, God clearly used you and you were open to it. Your brother and your sister-in-law, obviously they didn't have those tools and abilities to be able to step up. And that's unfortunate because in my opinion, it's a missed opportunity. Marcia, it sounds like you've been through a lot, more than most could handle. Okay. But when you think about this, when you keep that bigger view, that bigger vision, like I was talking about with Carolyn at the first, who was the first call today, it's huge. It's huge because eternity is forever. And when you think about that and all the great, wonderful virtues that have been built inside of you, Marcia, I mean, you have learned all those, acquired all those, and the benefits of those will go on for eternity. Quite honestly, I feel sorry for your brother and your sister-in-law. They missed out. They missed out on a chance to grow and to grow in their spiritual life. So if you look at it from that way, then you were blessed. If you look at it from the worldly stance of the responsibility and the stress and everything else, then of course you definitely took the hit. You know, you took the most of it. And so it's all, I believe, because I'm living with it. I mean, I was a caregiver for my dad and now with my mom. And it's all how you, I believe, how we focus on what is going on in front of us. I just want to say, though, you're a strong woman, of faith. And I don't know, I have a really good feeling about what the Lord has in store for you. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for that call today. I know we had another little phone glitch, so I'm going to let you go and let's see if we can get a couple more in to see if the phones will hold out. Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate the call. And thank you so much for taking care of your mom for 24 years. Wow. You know, talking about taking care of ourselves and others, you know, I just wanted to bring this up real quickly about pilgrimages, because pilgrimages are just a wonderful way to kind of recharge your batteries, to really grow, have that spiritual kind of growth spurt. And it's just a wonderful way to take that time to, you know, fill yourselves, you know, we're constantly being formed in the faith. We're constantly growing. And it's important that we constantly feed ourselves. We feed our souls. And it's important. So pilgrimages are just a wonderful, unique setting for spiritual renewal. And if you ever are considering a pilgrimage, maybe you would consider the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. That's where you can visit the final resting place of Mother Angelica. And you can tour the EWTN campus, which is just an hour away. So if you're interested in that, pray about it with your family. Maybe bring your whole entire family and some friends. You can start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. All you have to do is call 205- 205- 205-271-2966. That's the number for EWTN, 205-271-2966. That's for starting your pilgrimage. Thank you again, Marcia. We're going to move on to Catherine in the Fort Wayne area in Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to Take Two with just me today.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, that's just fine. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, thank you.
I don't usually call, but I did feel prompted.
Good, good.
Our family situation is... I'm in my 60s, and my family was broken. My father had sexually abused me, and then he abandoned the family for my mother's best friend, and they married. They have two children. She had four children. My dad had three. And my mom, after we were raised Lutheran, became Catholic almost immediately. She had been slowly converting anyway. And at any rate, she ended up with a vocation in the Catholic Church, and eventually, way down the road, I converted. But what we are living with now is my dad with greatly advanced Alzheimer's and his wife, declining. And to experience the family come together and lovingly care for our parents is just a remarkable testimony to the grace of God and the truth of the power of the cross. And I know it's not always easy. I'm sure that there's other families in the same situation, you know, where there's so much hurt. But, sometimes I go to my spiritual director and I say, you know, I need to bring resentments, and I need to ask Jesus to give me the love so that I can do this with love and not out of a sense of having to fulfill God's commandments, because he demands it.
Right.
And it's, you know, I just want, you know, the healing God can give, no matter how horribly we've been injured, especially by our loved ones, it's true.
Well, Catherine, I want to just first say that I'm so sorry you went through what you went through as a child or young adult, and my heart breaks for you, because no words could ever, you know, bring you any type of comfort from what you've experienced. But when I was doing the praying about and research for this show today, it actually came up about those that were abused by their parents and what is the proper response for them, because, you know, they have been violated and your dad hurt you badly. And so what is their response? And I was reading about it, and there was two different kind of views on it. And both were really kind of acceptable when it comes from a Christian perspective. And one is that, you know, if you just couldn't relate to that parent because of what you've been through, just to pray for them and to have the respect, but you can keep your distance. And then there was I'm going to get teary-eyed, but then there was the people that can step over. That can step over the pain, that can step through the pain and embrace that parent, even though it was very hard growing up with that parent. And that's you, Catherine. That's you. And as I was reading, it went on and on about people like you and how very blessed you are that you are able to have that ability. It's very, very closely linked with God. And I just wanted to say, thank you for sharing, having the courage to call in, first time calling in and sharing this and feeling prompted by the Spirit, because there's a lot of Catherines out there. There's a lot that have parents like yours, and they're faced with having to, take care of them. And now when your dad having advanced Alzheimer's, I mean, obviously you're not going to be having those deep conversations that maybe, you know, hopefully you've had all the conversations you need to have, but you're not going to probably be having them right now. But you're doing it out of the love you have in your heart. But really, Catherine, that love is the strong love that you have for Jesus. And that, I think, is a very saintly love. I had to say that because I was praying so hard that somebody would have the strength to call in. And that was you. That was you, Catherine.
Well, it wasn't easy. And, you know, Deb, I have to say, I would fall into both categories because there was a period of time where it was very necessary for me to have distance mm-hmm. and to really do the hard work that I finally was able to face and say, you know, I think, you know, I expected, well, worse things happen to other people, and so God will just have to take care of it. So for many years, I was living out of that wound and was very sick, made terrible choices. But God is gracious, and with the help of a wonderful Catholic priest who helped me face reality, I began the hard work of recovery. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of years, 5 years at least, where I could not be in my dad's presence because I was too broken.
Sure.
I couldn't emotionally handle it. And I needed that space to really go through the grief process that goes along with recovery for people who have lost their childhoods and their innocence. And, but you know, you persevere, and the turning point, what really brought me to a depth of profound healing was when I understood that when that happened to me, I was not alone and Christ was with me. And in some mysterious way, because it was permitted to happen, I was invited to enter into that suffering with him, because he suffers in all victims and he suffers in the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. And there's a way I can pray for my dad that's very special, because God's grace has made me capable of forgiving and living in it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's times, you know, where I suffer the memories.
Sure, sure.
But I can pray. I can pray for those who are being victimized and those who are doing it. And I tell you, the devil doesn't like that.
The what? I didn't hear that. What did you say?
I said the devil will kind of back off very much with the, you know, the
right.
PTSD type stuff. Mm-hmm. because peace will come, but it's just really true, and I think we need to be reminded again of the power of the cross, that we're safe from sin and death. Mm-hmm. We can be restored. We can be made new creatures over time. I mean, I'm talking this happened over decades.
Sure. Right.
But we tend to forget that he also then has made us sons of God.
Yeah. Sons and daughters of God. Yeah. And Catherine, thank you so very much. Thank you. We needed your call today, and you were prompted by the Spirit and you answered yes. And we all learned greatly from your experience and the hard work you've put into spiritually getting through everything. This was a great show again today, folks, and I just wanted to say I'm so sorry to everyone else that's on the line, Nicole and Donna and Andrea and Susanna. Wow, you guys, you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Tomorrow we have another show planned. It's talking about, do you feel validated and appreciated at your home and work? Until then, Jerry will be back. Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.